Dude, I swear getting out of the gate on this thing is just ridiculous. I start doing these things like 2, 3, 4 times, keep jacking them up, and I'm like, dude, just be normal. Stop with the introductions, be normal. All right, so I'm Danny, Terminal CWO. I'm trying to decompress just a little bit because I had a late night, got called back into work for some stupid stuff. Got a glass of bourbon poured here. See if I can stay facing the mic tonight. But as promised, I wanted to talk about the letter from the Secretary of the Army. Secretary of the Army, I don't even know her name. What's her name? Warmoth, Christine Warmoth, sent out a letter. And, I don't normally address these things because I don't care. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's stupid, whatever, to include myself. I don't think I'm special. But this one was especially bad. And this was bad in light of everything we've been talking about. But the marginalization of certain aspects of what's important to our force, what's important to the well-being of our troops, was really bad in this letter. As a couple of you told me, it was like she was trying to write a campaign letter. Maybe not the best thing for the force as a whole. Anyways, before we jump into that, I want to tell you guys, at the behest of some of you on Telegram, I started a Give, Send, Go campaign. I was blown away, not just saying that. I was absolutely blown away by the generosity that some of you showed me within the first 48 hours. That thing blew up, and haven't met my goal yet, but I can't tell you how much good that is going to do going forward and making this platform bigger, better, more robust. Right now, the timeline is broken. So if you're jacking around with the timeline, I apologize. Go to the website, trmlx.com. If your app is broken, the website works fine. I'll get it fixed. I promise. You just gave me your money and you're like, dude, WTF, man. Anyways, get into this letter really quick. And actually, I'm gonna drink some of this bourbon. Hang on. Oh, that's good. I'm shaking like a leaf right now. I don't know why. I'm just kind of jittery, you know? Like, maybe I didn't drink enough water today. Anyways, so this letter is dated February 8th. And I'm kind of reading this fresh. I skimmed through it. I saw the big issues, but I'm really going to react to this thing in real time. So, you know, it's not honest to go through and dissect something and then come on a podcast or anything and give it an honest assessment, like an emotionally honest assessment, because you've had time to process it and come up with your quippy little rebuttals and everything you want to say about it. But I'm looking at this thing fairly fresh. Okay. So let's read this together. Starts off saying, whether it is defending the country at home or overseas, our nation counts on the United States Army to be the first line of defense. We stand ready to deter and defend around the globe as the tip of the spear in Europe and the backbone of joint operations in the Indo-Pacific. The Army surges in times of crisis and is ready when called upon to fight and win the nation's wars. All right. So I don't know who she's talking to, but that's relatively standard political garble. We'll just keep going. We are navigating an unpredictable future, and our nation and our army are at an inflection point, building on our strong foundational priorities of people, modernization, and readiness, and blah, blah, blah. All right, we got to jump through this, guys. I can't keep reading this crap like this. It's just, what are you saying? Enough of the buzzwords, just talk to us, you know? Enough of the phrases and the catchy DC colloquialisms, and just freaking talk to us. But she starts breaking down her objectives, all right? So she says that as we emerge from 2 decades of counterinsurgency and counterterrorism operations, my first objective is to put the Army on a sustainable strategic path amidst this uncertainty. What does that mean? I was with you when you said sustainable strategic path, but then you just kind of lost me with amidst this uncertainty. And what are you saying? Say something real. The Army must find a way to field the cutting edge formations. Stop. We have not fielded a cutting edge formation in ever. You know, we had some really, really good ideas throughout the years. We had a couple of CAG dudes who developed AWG, if you all remember, Asymmetric Warfare Group. I met those dudes, a lot of those dudes in their infancy, okay? They were doing some high-speed stuff. These guys were going out onto the battlefield. They were embedding with special operations teams, whether it was SEALs, Green Berets, Rangers, whoever. They were embedding with these dudes. They're going out. They're conducting operations. And they were bringing that knowledge, the real time, what is the enemy doing? What are we doing to counter that? In real time, bringing that back to the force and implementing it right away. They were embedding with brigade combat teams and saying, hey, sir, you know, going to those brigade commanders and saying, hey, sir, this is how you need to train your dudes. This is what you need to focus on. This is what we are seeing on the battlefield as of last week. Really high speed stuff. I was actually blown away. And looking back on it in retrospect, I say, wow, that was actually a brilliant concept. It quickly went away because the politicians needed to get their dirty little mitts into it, and it fell under TRADOC. And then after you had a bunch of blowhard bureaucrats wearing uniforms in the ranks of lieutenant colonel and colonel step into those positions, they kind of just ruined it. They bogged it down with, you know, bureaucracy, red tape, and just made it sort of crappy and worthless. And it ended up going the way of the dodo, extinct. But when we're talking about fielding cutting edge formations, that was an organization that knew how to do it and knew how to do it right for a while. We must be able to sustain and strengthen U.S. deterrence with China as the pace challenge and Russia, as the pacing challenge, excuse me, and Russia as an acute threat we also confront. Sorry, I'm making sure I read that right because it didn't look grammatically correct. Anyways, okay. So yeah, agreed. Charting this requires commitment to innovation, experimenting with new ways of operating. So yes, I agree. And you know, one of the things we could do is actually make Futures Command something of relevance. Okay, I haven't seen a damn thing come out of Futures Command. Maybe I'm just not looking. Maybe they're just super sneaky and not talking about it, but those guys are all sitting in super swank houses and, you know, modern, how do you put it? Like, so if you go to any military installation, it looks like it was built in the 1920s, you know, and then maybe renovated in the 1950s. But then you get a couple buildings here or there that maybe were renovated in the early 2000s. But other than that, like all of our stuff sucks. These dudes at Futures Command are sitting in the middle of the Industrial Revolution in Austin, Texas. And I don't know what they're doing. I guess we had to give a 4-star general a command or something. And so we made this thing, and it was a great idea and concept, but modernizing our force with our industry counterparts, from what I've seen, hasn't happened. You know how like you'll go into the field, or screw it, not even the field, you'll just be in garrison and you'll try to use a computer, or you'll try to use a radio or any kind of piece of equipment, and it never works. It's always broken. You always have to go to the S6. Hey, what's going on, 6? Can I get this fixed? And it is some runaround with servers and ports and blah, blah, blah. And we can't hook up to the TAC zipper because this and that. And you're like, dude, what's going on? I just want a computer that I can like write a thing on and maybe send it to somebody else. You pull out your phone and before you know it, you're using iMessage or freaking WhatsApp or something like that. And you're literally going around the entire process with this piece of plastic in your pocket, which is 10 times more powerful than anything else out, you know, in your entire section. And it actually works. You're like, oh, that's not secure. And I'm like, dude, it is secure. It's more secure than any of the crap we're using. We don't even know how to fill our radios anymore. So I just don't know what the purpose of Futures Command is if it's not to modernize our force. You know what? I'm getting way off subject. Let me get back to the letter. All right. So far she's not saying anything crazy. Says, my second objective is to ensure the Army becomes more data-centric and can conduct operations in contested environments. which will enable our ability to prevail on the future battlefield. All right. So first of all, that would be great. That would be great. But what you're saying is stupid for a couple of reasons. First of all, it is 2022. And everything I just said about modernization, like, we're finally fielding stuff from like 2005 that our industry counterparts were using. You know, it's terrible. The kind of technology and the kind of stuff that we employ as a, as supposedly the best fighting force in the world. Let me drink some more bourbon. 1 second. I'll hit that happy medium where like I get a couple of drinks of bourbon in me and I'll really be on a flow. And then I got to kind of keep it there because, you know, I'll drink too much and then I'll just sound retarded. I'll say more retarded than I sound now. All right. So talking about modernizing the force, this data centric and being able to conduct operations in a contested environment. We're not going to be able to do anything with data in a contested environment. Guys, pull out your freaking notepads, your maps, everything's going analog. Because I promise you, our peers and us are going to just jam the hell out of everything data related. Everything that shoots out a signal, it's going to be locked up and it's not going to work. Okay. That's one of the things General Milley was talking about. And I hate referencing that traitor, but that's one of the things he was talking about years ago when he said that, you know, even squad leaders are going to have to learn how to make decisions that may go against what the commander has ordered, but it meets the higher command's intent. Excuse me. Because we're going to be in a denied environment where nothing is going to work. So dudes are going to have to be able to make decisions within the commander's intent and not be looking for, hey, sir, sergeant, whoever, what do I do next? No, you got to do something. You got to understand what the higher's intent is and do it. So that's great. She's going to say the same thing that like literally everybody before her said. Okay, great. And that's fantastic. Let's do that. Third objective is where it starts to get sketchy and why people got pissed. She said, my third objective is to continue our efforts to be resilient in the face of climate change. As the planet warms, the polar ice caps melt, and extreme weather becomes commonplace. The Army must adapt its installations, acquisition programs, and training to be able to operate in a changing environment and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Our future readiness depends on it. Stop. You sound like, what's her name? AOC? Yeah, like, all right, let's get on board with the reduced greenhouse gas emission. Do you know how much gas we dump out of a freaking jet every time we fly? Stop. Okay. Second of all, talking about climate change, here's the thing. Stick with me here. If you're listening to me, let's talk about the science really quick. Climate change is a thing. It's been going on for a very long time. Climate change is factual. As we spin around in space, as we spin around the sun, the axis does things, you know, planets come in and out, moves things here and there, things happen that change the climate of our planet. To be so arrogant to think that we have any impact on that, or enough of an impact that somehow throwing, you know, billions or trillions of dollars at this problem is going to magically fix climate changing is like, can you call an organization or a group narcissistic? I don't know. That's more of like an individual human trait, but that's what it is. That's a really arrogant thing to think that you'll have that kind of impact on something because you throw enough money at it. I agree that pollution's bad. I'm not for pollution. Like, you know, hey, if we can find a better way of doing something so I don't have to breathe in this dude's exhaust fumes, I'm all about it. Like, no issue. But let's stop with the nonsense about how we're going to be a better fighting force and how we're going to stop the polar ice caps from melting if, you know, we reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. It's embarrassing to think that people actually say this shit. Well, there I go. I'm already cussing. It's embarrassing to think that people say this stuff And they mean it. Like, they mean what they're saying. Okay, so climate change is real. But let me tell you why we talk about climate change now. So for those of you who are not old enough to remember, back in the day, the 90s and the early 2000s, they were using the word global warming because they were basically saying that because of our actions, we are warming up the planet to a dangerous stop. Well, they had to stop saying global warming because they realized that they had been saying this crap since the 60s and 70s, and they had been throwing out all these predictive dates of when the Earth was going to end, when, you know, the sun was going to become so hot that it was going to burn everything on Earth, and just a load of garbage. We're talking about trust the science. These were people that were literally stumping on this being apocalyptic circumstances, and we had another 10 years, and just like they're doing now. You can see a lot of these politicians come out, and we're not going to make it to 2030. We're gonna, stop. You are not so significant that you, your tiny little minuscule on the planet, me, you, anybody else, all combined, are going to stop the trajectory of this planet, Earth, as it flies around the sun in space and does what it's been doing for a very long time now. Okay? You are just not that important. I say we stop destroying our planet for other reasons, because, hey, we have to share this with, you know, a lot of other critters. Not cool. Be taking away, I don't know, habitats from them. It's not cool when you literally pollute the hell out of Asia, China, talking to you, and people have to like wear special masks on heavy pollution days. What is a heavy pollution day? We don't even know what that is in America. But we have to wear masks on a heavy pollution day. And I remember this because I was stationed in South Korea. And that's how they live in China, because it's just a big smog ozone. But we have this on priority number three from the Secretary of the Army about stopping our actions so that we can, so we're going to dump more money into, I got an idea. The Army must adapt its installations. Yes, agreed. The Army must take some of that money that it gets every year, that massive, redonkulous freaking budget that is cut out, and put it into decent living environments. I'm not talking about the Taj Mahal. I'm just talking about something that doesn't have black mold crawling up the walls. Well, hey, Chief, they just need to live cleaner. Guess what, guy? Pretty sure no matter how dirty I am or how unclean I am, I don't have mold growing all over my house. My wife gets upset with me because sometimes I'm messy. Guess what that mess doesn't do? It doesn't create black mold that crawls through my vents and up my walls. All right, so when we're talking about adapting installations, how about we talk about giving our warfighters, the dudes who are actually dealing with the suck day in and day out, giving them some adequate living spaces that they can thrive when Big Sarge isn't dicking them down. How about that? I don't know. Maybe that's a concept. Okay, so she says this as objective number three, starts off with kind of the nonsense and really ruffling the feathers. Number four goes into building a positive command climate at scale across all Army formations. What does that mean? Building a positive command climate at scale across all Army formations. Well, that's fantastic until you realize that doesn't mean anything, because we don't want to fix it. We know what the problem is. We have commanders who subjectively decide that they are or are not going to follow up on investigations, or they're going to hook their buddies up, or they're just not going to do the right thing. Morally, legally, you know, there's not. Okay, let's talk about rape in the military. Rape is a terrible thing. There's a way to fix it. The way to fix it is to make a dude bite the curb and squash his brains out of his head when he does it. And guess what? It's not to stop him from doing it. It's to stop the next 10 guys from doing it, because we're going to line everybody up in the formation to make them watch. Hey, this dude is summarily executed or sentenced to death and will be executed today. Bite the curb. Done. You want to rape people? That's how we deal with it. And everybody else is going to get in line. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So let's talk about what we can really do. The SHARP program in the Army specifically, it works. Oh, no, Chief, stop. I was with you until you said that. It does. There's nothing wrong with the SHARP program. What's broken about our process is that commanders have to follow up on the sharp process. So when a sharp rep goes to that commander and says, hey, you've got this in your formation, and the commander says, Roger, check, and then does nothing about it, and that soldier who was violated has to maintain a working space with the perpetrator of that crime and then ends up killing themselves. Well, yeah. So anyways, let's talk about building a positive command climate at scale across all Army formations. Change the freaking culture. But that'll never happen, because what you want is what the rest of your cronies want in DC, and that is a leftist, progressive, cut your dick off and be a freaking trainee. You know, I was a dude, now I'm a chick, and respect my pronouns culture. And that's not going to do it. That is not going to do it for building a positive command climate at scale. Some of this stuff is outrageous, but you know, she goes on to say that character and culture matter, and I'm committed to ensuring that we select the best possible leaders. Since when? You haven't picked them yet. Do you know how many of your general officers are running around breaking the law right now? And then everybody underneath them, okay? I mean, we're talking about the best possible leaders who have character and... What do you think that means? Stop. But then... She goes on to say, my fifth objective is to reduce harmful behaviors in our Army. Okay, let's break this one down. This is integral to sustaining a positive command climate at scale. We need to shift from responding to harmful events after they have happened to finding ways to prevent them. Okay, that's a legitimate statement. Let's keep going. To do that, we must develop and institutionalize prevention-oriented approaches that year after year will reduce the frequency of harmful behaviors. Sexual harassment and assault. Extremist activity. Okay, shut up. Stop. Stop. All right. What are you really saying? We must do this stuff. We must implement. We must get rid of. We must eradicate. Say something that actually means something. Say something that has value and actually makes a difference. What you're saying is just buzzwords right now. Once again. And then you go on with extremist activity. Shut. Oh, I'm really trying to keep this thing PG. I've slipped a couple times. So I'll watch it. But shut up. You know, when you start jumping into that extremist activity crap and you're marrying that up with what the Department of Homeland Security is saying about extremists, we know what you mean, all right? So just stop. We do not have a problem with extremism. Racism? Absolutely. I'd say that there is a huge issue. And guess what? It gets squashed at the unit level. Because what is racism? It's most of the time, not always. Sometimes it does spawn extremism down the road if it's allowed to fester and grow. I will concede to that idea. But racism in its infancy and in its most basic form is generally just ignorance towards a certain culture or a subsect of people. And it's because, you know, you grew up in the Midwest and you grew up around other white people and maybe some Hispanics. But then you get introduced to the East Coast and, you know, there's a lot of black folk running around and you're like, oh, this is different. They say things differently. They have different culture. They eat different foods, a little different, a little funny to you. But say they start, you know, harassing you and you get picked on by just some dick humans and they happen to be black and they happen to exhibit some of those traits. Well, you think, I hate black people. Well, no, see, that's ignorance, because black people have nothing to do with that guy's behavior. Vice versa. White people have nothing to do with, you know, redneck Joe down in Alabama and his, you know, his KKK stickers run across the back of his truck. One has nothing to do with the other, okay? Just because that guy is a problem doesn't mean I'm a problem. Just because that black guy or that brown guy or that, you know, whoever is an issue doesn't mean I can lump all of them into the same group, okay? So generally speaking, racism in the military gets squashed pretty quickly simply because you're exposed to a world that you were not exposed to before. And you start, as you take in more and more of the types of people that you would say, oh, you know, I don't like that race. It starts to paint a bigger picture. And so you see the good, the bad, the in-between. And you start to realize that people are just people. We are a product of our environment. A person's skin color, a person's nationality has no more bearing on their conduct or behavior than yours or eyes. But the environment they grew up in very well might, you know, because we are easily moldable and adaptable, and we will be shaped by the environments in which we are brought up. Anyways, what gets really obnoxious in this letter, let's move on. She says, we need to do more to prevent suicide in the Army. That's it. And then it goes on to say, I call on leaders to continue making clear that there is no stigma associated with taking care of yourself and your family. First of all, that's a lie. That's a lie. I know dudes are getting kicked out because the last unit I was in, and I'm not going to tell you which unit it was, obviously, I'd rather not. The last unit I was in, they had a command policy, not put on paper, but I knew it was there. Okay. I'm a chief warrant officer. I get around. I learn some things. I do some things. And there was a policy in place that if people went to behavioral health, which for those of you who don't know what that is, that's the shrink, the psychiatrist, or you go there, you talk out your problems, you get some meds, or whatever the issue is, you go to behavioral health. There was a policy that if somebody went to behavioral health, it was reported to the command because they wanted to get rid of them. They did not want them in their formation anymore. They didn't want that problem. Said, we have enough problems as it is. We need to get this out of here. That's an issue. Okay. So they say, oh no, no, we have it clear. We have it in policy that there's no stigma associated with it. You can't penalize somebody for going to behavioral health. Oh, that's great, but it doesn't work. Once again, why? Because commanders, all these programs we have in place, you know why they don't work? Because commanders oftentimes are the judge, jury, and executioner. People have no idea how much power a commander has, even at the O3 captain level. Pretty crazy. So one line in there about suicide. So the third objective was to, you know, do more to prevent polar ice caps from melting as the planet warms. Well, that's what the planet's going to do. It's going to warm. It's going to cool. It's going to warm. It's cool. Hopefully it doesn't cool to the point where we have another ice age. Hopefully it doesn't warm to the point where, you know, we get blasted by UV rays that turn us into dust overnight. But you and I driving our car up and down the highway isn't going to make that a reality one way or the other. Oh, and oftentimes these people are hypocrites anyways, because they talk about their greenhouse crap and then they jump in their private jet and they run off to their next, global forum where they talk about some more greenhouse crap. Jeez, it's mind-boggling how just obtuse and unaware these people really are. So talking about how we must do more. See, the real reason I have an issue with this suicide thing is not only because suicide has been an issue for many years. And when I say issue, yeah, people are always killing themselves. All right. I've been there, done that. I have a family member that killed themselves. Many of you, you know, I've talked about that story before. Suicide is a near and dear topic to my heart, but we saw suicide jump from like 560 or something like that in 2020 to like 1,700 and something. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was like over a 500%. No, I'm sorry. A 359% increase in the suicide rate across the DOD in 2021. Well, why is that? Look, we've talked about this on other programs. I don't have time to talk about that right now, but we're talking about how we are going to, focus on suicide. First of all, it's priority number five. We don't really care. Even though the suicide rate in the last year has gone up 359% across the DOD. we don't really care. We're going to put it down really low, and then we're going to say some nonsense about how we don't want to stigmatize it, and you know, let your guy go see the shrink. Make sure you take care of him. Hope they don't kill themselves. All right, good talk.
Save the polar ice caps. We must do more for the glaciers because we're U.S. Army.
All right, dude. So goes on through a whole bunch of buzzwords. I mean, this paragraph is thick. A whole bunch of buzzwords, sexual harassment and assault, extremist activity, more of that, racism, domestic violence. Man, you're really painting us to be just like a mob of real turds, which granted we are. I'm not going to lie. We are. We've got some really bad eggs in the ranks. Not saying we don't. I would say domestic violence is a pretty significant issue. That's something we don't see too often because dudes will come to work and they can put on their work face and they go home and they, you know, beat their wife, kick the dog, slap the kid around. It's pretty tragic how much of it is getting overlooked in the military. But let's be real and talk about the real problems instead of making up other crap and you know, just chasing this boogeyman all over the world, trying to stamp out this thing that, first of all, one, we can't stamp out. We just, like I said, we're this big. The world is floating around in space. Stop pretending like you're that important or you're that significant that you can do something about it. And then, like, extremism, stop. Just shut up. Maybe the extremists, I'll tell you what. Maybe we stop having cops hold the door open and take selfies with those extremists as they try to take over our capital. All right, that's, I shouldn't go down that road because, yeah, I should. But that's a longer conversation anyway. So number six is, my sixth objective is to, listen to this crap, is to strategically adapt the way we recruit and retain talent into the Army in order to sustain the all-volunteer force. For reals? So we're going to kick thousands out? First of all, I want to tell you guys something really quick. They say 3,500, right? That's like the number that's getting floated around. Between 3,000 and 3,500 are going to be dismissed from the Army. They're not, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But anyways, are going to be dismissed from the Army for refusing the vaccine. Do you know why that number is so low? Because these installations are not sending forward their religious exception packets. Those packets are not going forward. And I know this because I have talked, you know why I know this. I've got the account where everybody tells me everything. All right. Pretty cool, actually. But anyways, we have gotten hundreds of accounts of people like, we found out that my unit, you know, didn't send them forward. I'm going to put together a video. I'm going to put together a video and show you the overall numbers and break it down real, real dummy style. So you can see, once again, they're just lying to us and they're lying to Congress and they're lying to the American people because the reality of how disastrous it will be if they kick out every single person who has denied to get the vaccine, it's staggering. I just off the top of my head here, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I would wager to say like 20% of the entire DOD. And when I say 20%, I'm talking active, reserve, guard, all of it. But it's crazy. Can you imagine if we just cut 20%? You got these dudes who are like, well, good riddance. If you can't follow a lawful order, I don't want you in my military anyways. Brother, if you can't read and you can't discern what a lawful and unlawful order are, I don't want you in my military. Like, you're an idiot. This stuff, we've literally painted this stuff with color by numbers for you guys, and some of you still don't get it. It's painful. Wow. But anyways, we're going to retain talent? No, we're going to kick talent out. And then recruit? What, recruit like as in throw $50,000 at turds off the street for four-year bonuses or $20,000 for two-year bonuses? Hold up. I can do 2 years in the Army. First of all, I've done 20 years. 2 years, $20,000, that's nice. I'd jump all over that. But it doesn't change the fact that what are we bringing into the military? What are you getting with that? We are so desperate to bring our numbers up that we are offering just absurd amounts of money. Stuff that we used to give, $50,000 is what we used to give, like the most, the guys who spoke the most difficult languages, if they'd re-up for like 3-4 years, something like that, we'd throw that kind of money at them because holy crap, this dude speaks, you know, Pashtun or something like that. We need this. We need this really bad. Now we're just going to give a dude $50,000, come in and jerk off for 4 years and, you know, be a part of the woke mob, I guess. So anyway, she finishes to say, I'm excited to continue working with General McConville, Sergeant Major of the Army Grinston, and senior leaders throughout the force on the extraordinary opportunities that lay before the total Army. I don't see them. I'm not seeing them. Dudes are getting out and they're like, screw this. I want to leave. I'm glad you're kicking me out because I don't want to be a part of this corrupt, traitorous organization anymore. And you know what cripples, you know what breaks my heart about that? When dudes say that, no, it's not just that I fully understand where they're coming from, but I'm like, this is my army. This is our army. We served. We poured our blood, sweat, and tears. We watched our brothers and sisters, you know, die, give up their lives. And, you know, I think back on all that and I'm like, why did we do it? Was it for country? No, it was for each other. It was. The truth of the matter is it was for each other. We couldn't stand the idea of our buddies going down range while we were chilling back at home. And we were like, no, I got to sign up. I got to be a part of that. I know because I was one of those dudes. I had a break in service. I came back in because I hadn't done enough. And I was like, I haven't done my part. And I know that my buddies are still downrange. So I came back in and I don't regret it for a second. But what I'll tell you is these people have infected and taken over something that was noble and had integrity and worth. And it was a hard life, but you know, like integrity. Come get you some. I love those South Park episodes, by the way. But all right, let me not lose my serious rant here. I hate the fact that they have corrupted and taken over and just polluted our military at the highest levels. I didn't even see it coming. For those of you who did, good on you. You're better than me. I did not see this coming. And it crushes me. Because the Army has given me everything in life. And now it stands to take everything away from me. And I hate what it has become in the sense of what these people say it stands for. It does not stand for what they say it stands for. We are supposed to be the line in the sand, the protectors of freedom. And the Constitution and the, you know, the red, white, and blue. Let's get on it. Let's throw some Toby Keith up there. Get after it. We are patriots. We love our country. We understand. Many of us have said, I will fight this now so that my children won't have to fight it. Well, guess what? You don't have that choice anymore. Your children are going to have to fight it. They found a way to bring it to our soil. They found a way to bring that crap here. And so you've got Secretary of the Army Warmoth here, who puts out this loaded, just convoluted babble of garbage and has the nerve to talk about polar ice caps, two objectives above suicide in our military. When suicide, check it out. Think about it like this. This is something that Culper, my counterpart on the radio, brought up the other day. We were doing this radio show and he was like, yeah, that's more, you know, 1700 and whatever it was, is more people we've lost in, like, you know, Afghanistan in, I don't know, a really long time. I thought about, I haven't looked up the numbers, but yeah, decade and a half. You're telling me that in 1 year, Suicide killed more people than Afghanistan did in a decade and a half.
Whoa. Whoa.
Our military was so toxic and so bad that our brothers and sisters felt the need to take their own lives in a number that was higher than Afghanistan's combat death toll in a decade and a half, and they did it in 1 year. If that, man, and you have the nerve to throw this in there in the middle of your little campaign trail speech, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed that you have anything to do with my institution. So, yeah, add Christine Wormuth to the bucket now. I'm not really focused on her. I was appalled by the letter. Many of you were appalled by the letter. We have a lot of stuff coming up, guys. We have a lot of things coming up. We have a lot of a big stuff that's going to drop, and we need your help. I'm not talking about help money-wise or financially or anything like that, but we need your help. When you ask, what can I do? How can I help? Just share our stuff. Whether it's Terminal CWO, Army Batman, Military Freedom Keepers, you know, so many other great pages. Doesn't even have to be military. If you see people are putting out good, solid information, and these are people that love this nation, that love our way of life, and they're putting good stuff out, share that stuff everywhere. Start breaking away from this traditional social media empire that we've gotten sucked into. I'm trying. I've got my own adventure, like I said, Terminal X. I'm going to tout it. But then, you know, Telegram and Clout Hub, or Telegram probably the second biggest that I'm on, and then Clout Hub, really trying to get that one going. But, you know, we're trying to break away from this Zuckerberg and Twitter nightmare. Okay, these guys absolutely control the public forum. And you're at their mercy if you use their product. The problem is, most people, 99% of the people, don't post stuff that will get them deleted. And the small fraction of that 1% that do, that post stuff of worth that gets deleted, a lot of people are like, oh, it's no big deal. I still get to post pictures of my dog, my hunting trip, and whatever else. No, this needs to be a combined effort. We got to jump off this stuff, get to higher ground, and start having real conversations with each other. So I'm going to jump off here. I'm going to finish this bourbon and go make some food. Y'all stay safe. Stay positive this week, okay? I know it's hard out there. Stay positive. Fight for each other. Fight for your troops. If you have a family, take care of your family. If you're fighting with your spouse, let's figure out how to make amends. Let's figure out how to strengthen and tighten up our families. Call your friends. Say what's up. Make sure they're doing okay. And like I said, stop being so negative. That's my job. I get to be negative and put out the stuff. We get to fight, though. We get to fight for freedom. We get to fight alongside each other. And we get to strengthen each other and build up each other's morale. So let's do it. Let's help each other out. And come on, let's get in the trenches and get this thing done. Talk to you guys later.